Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, and who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said it: Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. Once again, I apologise if you're a Cretan here today. You might not be, but I apologise. but I'll explain it later. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Well, let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray and seek God's help as we look at this together. Our Father in heaven, this in many ways is a very old letter written to a very specific group of people. But Father, we thank you that we can have confidence this morning that it is a letter for us. It is a letter that we want to learn from today, Father. It is a letter that we want to be guided by. It is a letter that we want to be changed by. Please may we hear your voice through these words today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. It's a big drive in our country at the moment. You can't miss it. But this idea of being healthy, it's everywhere, isn't it? So you go to the doctor's surgery, there are posters about it. Eat your five a day, you'll be healthy. Get a little bit of exercise every day, you'll be healthy. It's a big push. In fact, there's one poster I saw the other day in the doctor's surgery. It says be healthy, with these kind of very happy, healthy looking people on the front. And it's got this strap line underneath that says, eat healthy, live healthy, and you'll be healthy. That's the motto of this poster. And actually, if you kind of just open your eyes a little bit, you see that being healthy is big business in the UK. It is something that people work for and strive for and push for and discipline themselves for. And obviously, looking at you guys, that is very true here. It is something that has even infiltrated into my own house. This idea of being healthy. My wife at the moment is trying to get us, and I emphasize trying. She's trying to get us to eat healthy so that we will be a healthy family. It's something that we give a lot of time to, or some people do. But I want to ask you this morning, what about when it comes to your health as a follower of Jesus? How do we become healthy followers of Jesus? How, as a local church, do we be a healthy church, a healthy group of followers of Jesus? Well, believe it or not, this short letter of Titus is actually about being healthy. It's about how we become healthy followers of Jesus. It's how we become a healthy church family. Now, I know the word healthy doesn't appear there, but let me just show you something. Verse 5. Paul is saying to Titus, look, Titus, I left you in Crete, the small island, that you might put in order what was left unfinished. He was left there, you could say, to put things straight. He was left there with the priority of making sure that the new baby churches on this island were being healthy. They were eating the right things. They were living the right way. And therefore, they were healthy followers of Jesus. And that's actually backed up. You can see here, look at verse 9. There's a word there. It says sound doctrine. And then you see in verse 13, he talks about that they may be sound in the faith. Kind of the drumbeat, the rhythm that goes through this chapter of Titus is this idea of health. That word sound, literally translated, means healthy. It means to be well. These are instructions on how to be a healthy follower of Jesus. How Silver Street Community Church can become a healthy church. That's what Titus was meant to do. And to steal that line from the poster I saw in the doctor's surgery, actually, what is he told to do? He's told to help this church to eat healthy, to live healthy, and to be healthy. Now, you may think, you know what? A church just has to eat the right things to be healthy? Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But actually, we need to eat the right things, we need to live the right way, and we will be healthy followers of Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be healthy? Let's just pause there for a second. What does it mean when we say healthy as a Christian? Well, have a look with me at verse 1, because it helps us to kind of get our head around what that looks like. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect. If a healthy follower of Jesus, according to this, is someone whose faith is growing. You see, if you're someone who says that I'm trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, then that is faith that should be on the move. It should be increasing. Every day should be a growing opportunity to say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you for what's past and I trust you for what's ahead. A growing faith is the sign of a healthy believer. And so you have to say, am I healthy? Is my faith growing? Have a look at verse 1 again. He goes on to say, and a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. What is a healthy follower of Jesus? It is someone who's feeding on the Bible is changing them to be more like Jesus. This knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. So if your life is not changing in any way, shape or form, it's probably a sign that you're not very healthy. Healthy Christians are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Their behavior is changing. And verse 2, if you look there, in the hope of eternal life. A healthy Christian is one who's full of hope. Not vague hope. Oh, I really hope it doesn't rain today. That's not going to happen in the UK. But I really hope it doesn't rain today. But it's a certain hope. I'm certain that Jesus, the risen one, is coming again as judge. And he's coming again to gather his people. And I have hope. That's a healthy Christian. And so this morning, I simply want to say to you that if you want to be a healthy follower of Jesus, if you want to hit those targets of a growing faith and a changing life that's growing to become more like Jesus, then these are instructions we need to listen to. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, let me ask you, do you want to be healthy? No one wants to be the couch potato of the Christian world, do they? We want to be healthy, healthy followers of Jesus. And if you want to be healthy, then you need to listen to this morning. And if you're here this morning and as yet you say, well, I'm not really a follower of Jesus, then can I say to you that with all the confusion in our world of people who come and say things in the name of Jesus, if you listen to these instructions, it will help you to spot who you should listen to. Who are the healthy followers of Jesus? Who are the ones who have the truth? Because these instructions will expose something of that to you this morning. So here it is. You ready? You ready to go to the gym this morning? That's what we're going to do. We're going to get healthy. Here it is. To be healthy, I want to put it like this. To be a healthy follower of Jesus, we need three things from this part of the Bible. We need to be fed. Sorry, we need to be led. We need to be fed. And we need to beware. Okay? There's three things. We need to be led. We need to be fed. And we need to beware. So here we go. Number one. To be a healthy follower of Jesus, we need to be led. Now, my wife is reading a book at the moment. It won't surprise you to know that it's a book about being healthy. And the book is called Lean in 15, which sounds like a really good option to me. If you could achieve healthiness in 15 minutes, that's brilliant. But actually, it's about 15 minutes every day or something. But you see, here's a book, and it's on, you know, Emma shows it to me regularly, but the question I have when you come to a book like this is, why should I take this book seriously when it comes to being healthy? Now, there's a good place to start, which is the picture on the front cover. It's the guy who wrote the book. And when you look at this guy, you think, hang on a second, he looks quite healthy. He looks in good shape. You know, he's someone who's kind of glowing, and you know, he's happy and he's kind of muscly, and you think, wow, this man is a healthy man. And then you open the book and you start to read kind of the opening blurb. And as you read this book that Emma's reading, actually what you read about is a man who is genuinely put into practice the things he's telling us to do. Why does he look healthy? Because he's done the things in this book. You see what it's like? Here is a man that when you take him seriously, you think, well, that's a man I want to follow. That's a man that I want to lead me to being healthy, because he's clearly living it and it's clearly working for him. Now, will you look with me at verse 5? Because if that is true of our bodies, how much more true is it when it comes to our faith in the Lord Jesus? Look at verse 5. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. What do we need if we're going to be healthy followers of Jesus? What does a church need to be healthy? It needs leaders. Now, the term actually there is the term elder. Now, if you haven't been hanging around churches for a while, that kind of sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? It sounds like something out of Star Wars, you know, a group of strange creatures sitting around running the galaxy. We are the elders. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But actually, it's just a word in the Greek language when the Bible was written that kind of means an older man who oversaw the affairs of in this case, particularly the local synagogues. And they would kind of run it and officiate it and look after it. It was just men a little bit further down the journey to look after things. That's what the word means, the word elder. And again, if you just look down at verse 7, you'll see there's another word there. Lots of these words in the Bible are interchangeable to describe the leaders that we need. And verse 7 uses the word overseer as a manager of God's household. See, what type of leadership is it that Jesus says churches need to be healthy? It's those who are kind of going to run the household. Those who are going to look after God's people. That's the picture here. So I don't know if you've ever had the privilege, maybe it's not that term, of house-sitting for somebody. Have you ever done that? I actually find it's a terrifying experience. Because you're in somebody else's house and you don't want to mess it up. You want to treat the house as if it belongs to them, because it does. You want to do things the way they would do it. Put the kettle in the right place and the cushions in the right place. You want to treat it like it belongs to them. And this term, overseer, managing God's household, says that basically the leaders we need are men who recognize that this is not their house, but it's God's house. And they're left simply to run it. Every family needs running, doesn't it? We have 6 children, as many of you will know, and they will tell you that to get out of the house in the morning is like a military campaign. It is time to the minute so that we get them out of the house so they can get at school at the right point. It takes running. And local groups of believers are little households of God, scattered around the world. But they need running, looking after, house sitting. That's the type of leadership it's talking about here. Not bullish men who are going to rule the roost, but men who look after God's household. And that's the type of leadership he's talking about here. And so according to the Bible, and please see it because it's here, according to the Bible, not some institution somewhere or organization, some group of men, but according to God himself, to be a healthy church, we need to be a led church. We need men to look after us and lead us and make sure that we are doing things the way God would want us to do them. A church being looked after and run and ordered by a group. And notice it's always plural in the New Testament. It's not just one man, it's the elders. A group of men who will take care of God's church. Now, what type of men are they to be? You know, I know leadership's a bit of a sore subject in the UK at the moment, but what type of a man is to lead God's household, to oversee it? Well, that's where you get this huge list of things in verse 6 to 9. It's a very terrifying list in some ways, isn't it? But let me try and summarize it for you like this. To be healthy followers of Jesus, we need to be led by men who are clearly being led by Jesus. We need to be led by men who are clearly showing that they are eating the right things and living the right way. Does that make sense? Like that man on the front of my wife's book, who's clearly living out the things that he's telling others to do. That's the type of men that we should be led by. And that's what this list is trying to summarize.
What about women?
Well, in the Bible, it's very clear that it's men who are to lead the church. That's what it's talking about here. You can see it there. The husband of but one wife, faithful to his wife. You see, so it's a good question, Pete. We can talk more about that later. But it's saying here that men are to lead the church. That's not sexist. It's not an ability thing. There are plenty of women who would probably lead much better than any men. But it's an obedience thing because that's what the scriptures say. That's a good question, Pete. Thank you. But look down again, okay? What are these men to be like? They are to be men, verse 1, whose faith is growing. They're to be men, you'll see, verse 9, who hold firmly to the trustworthy message. That's the type of men that you need in church. That's the type that are to be led. Now, maybe a modern phrase that we might use is they're men who practice what they preach. That is the phrase that you might use today. Or men who are walking evidence that they are sticking with Jesus and are being transformed by the truth of Jesus so that they are being changed by Jesus. You see, that's how it starts. Look at verse 6. An elder must be blameless. Now, actually, you've got to understand that word does not mean perfect. Okay, we tend to use it that way in England. But actually, the word in the Greek just means unaccused. It means that this is their lifestyle is not a lifestyle that drags the name of Jesus through the mud. You know, sadly, in the news of the UK, we've seen so many church leaders who have behaved in a way that have just destroyed the reputation of the church. And the men to lead a local group of believers are to be men who are not bringing the name of God into the mud. And, well, is that what you believe? Is that what you guys are like? And actually, instead, we're not looking for perfect men. But we're looking for imperfect men who are trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And who are trusting the truth of Jesus to be transformed. And that's why you get this long list. Have a look down. Verse 6, it's faithful to his wife. A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. What's that about? That's saying, well, actually, you should have a home life that reflects that you're men who are following Jesus. Men whose home and whose lives show that they are holding tightly to the message about Jesus. And then leading us to do so. Now, have a look with me, will you? We haven't got time to go through the whole list, but look at verse 7. An overseer manages God's household. He must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message. Now, when you read a list like that, who does it make you think of? It makes me think of Jesus. Because actually, of all the men, of all the men in this world, who does this most smell like and taste like? It's Jesus. Who firmly stuck to the message that he came to proclaim. Who was obedient, who was self-controlled. And basically what we're being told in this part of the Bible is that if we're going to be healthy, we need to be led by men who are holding tightly to Jesus and who are learning to behave like Jesus, who are being transformed to behave like Jesus, and then is able to help us do the same. To be healthy, we need to be led. Now, leadership in our country at the moment is all the headlines, isn't it? Who's going to be the next prime minister? You know, who's going to lead us? We've just prayed about it. And many of us, I guess, have this inner reaction that bolts against leadership. Well, I don't want to be led by them. I want to do things my way. That's the kind of inner me, isn't it? The I don't want to be told how to lead my life. And many of us, you see, sit here perhaps with a very authoritarian view of leadership. You know, maybe some of us grew up through churches where the leaders just, you do this and you do that. And it was a very authoritarian upbringing. Yeah, well, maybe that was your experience, Pete, wasn't it? But whatever you experience of leadership, whatever it was, you cannot get away from the fact that the scriptures here that say that elders who are being led by Jesus, holding firmly to the message of Jesus, are a gift to the church to help us be more and more like Jesus, to lead us. It is part of being healthy. And I'm simply preaching before you this morning what the scriptures say. And if you want to be healthy, my question for you this morning is, will you allow yourself to be led? Led by men who want to hold tightly to what Jesus has to say. Is your attitude when you come and belong to a local church, I don't really want to do what anyone else wants me to do. I just want to do my thing. Oh, I don't like the decisions of the guys who are trying to lead us. I watch we do it this way. Actually, the Bible says that we need to learn to be led to be healthy. This is a bit awkward when you stand at the front and preach about something that you are. it makes it sound like, right guys, you've got to listen to me, okay? But actually, can I just be really honest and say, you should be praying for your leaders. You should be praying for the men that, as it were, are seeking to lead God's local household. Do you pray for Patrick and Gareth and myself? We'd love you to. Pray that we're men who hold firmly to the trustworthy message of Jesus. Pray that we're men who lead you as we're being led by Jesus. That's what we should be praying about. And actually, the importance of leadership is why it's so important that we belong to a local church family. If Jesus says, appoint local men to lead you, then that's why it's so important to belong to a local church where you can be led. Being led is part of being healthy. Do you believe that? That's certainly what the scriptures teach. Number two, we need to be fed. To be healthy, we need to be fed. There's a TV series in the UK called You Are What You Eat. It's not been on for a while. But basically, you get the gist of it. You eat a donut, you become a donut, something like that. But it's the idea that the things that you take in affect what you become. You eat healthy, be healthy. That's the sort of phrase we saw. Now, the same is true when it comes to a healthy follower of Jesus. We need to be fed with the right food to be healthy. And what is that food? Well, look at verse 9. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message of Jesus as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. What food do you and I need if we're to be healthy? We need the trustworthy message of Jesus and his cross and his resurrection and his ascension and his return as judge. That's the food that we need. And that is the food that elders, leaders of a local church, are meant to serve up. Don't know if you've ever been to one of those restaurants where they cook the food in front of you. Well, that's kind of what's happening on a Sunday morning. We're frying up some food and we're feeding because that's what we need. We need the Word of God. We need the truth about Jesus because it's only that truth that will transform us. It's only that truth that will make us healthy. You see, that's what they're to do. Look at the word verse 9. They're to hold to this message, be loyal to this message, so that the elder can encourage. Now that literally means exhort or give instructions, and can refute those who oppose it. That's the job of a leader. But can I tell you, friends, it's not just the job of a leader. Leaders are to do that house to house. They're to do that publicly from the front. But actually, all of us, as we have the Word of God, are to hold tightly to it, and we're to use it to feed on. Do you feed on the Word of God? It's a gospel that corrects us and instructs us. You see verse 9? You can encourage people with it. It gives you instructions and it refutes you when you're wrong. Now, none of us likes being told off, do you? But I have to confess before you that I badly need both aspects of what the truth does. As a man who tries to feed regularly on the Word of God, I am a man who needs encouraging, I need instructing, I need to know what God's way is of doing things. But I'm also a man who needs correcting. Nathan, that really doesn't fit with being a follower of Jesus. You really shouldn't have done that. You really shouldn't have said that. We are people, all of us, who need to feed on what God has to say. Because if you're eating the right things, you will be healthy. Do you see the importance of the Bible? So let me ask you this morning, how is your eating? Not your food eating. But your eating of the Bible. Your eating of God's words. Are you feeding on God's word deliberately, actively? Will you allow yourself, as it were, to be filled up? Will you allow others to feed you? I was thinking about it this week, but sometimes people go without meals, don't they? They skip a meal every so often because they're too busy or whatever. Actually, sometimes we're prone to skip a meal when it comes to God's word. It's very easy, isn't it, to think, oh, I'll just skip Grow Group on Tuesday because I'm a bit tired, or I'll skip a Sunday morning, I've got other things going on. And actually, what happens? What's the cumulative effect if you skip enough meals? You stop being healthy. And actually, it's true when it comes to the Word of God. If you skip enough meals, if you skip enough times where you are fed the Word of God, then what's going to happen? You'll be unhealthy. We need to feed on the Word of God. See, this part of the Bible says to be a healthy follower of Jesus, we need to be led and we need to be fed. And that is not just the responsibility of the leaders. That is our responsibility. We need to get the Bible open. We need to encourage one another with the Bible. Even as we're talking after church, you know, how many times do we get the Bible? Let me feed you something. Let me give you some truth that will help you be healthy. And thirdly, to be a healthy follower, we need to be led, we need to be fed, and it's disappeared. There's gone. We need to beware. Beware. I would be a man who confesses, and my wife's sitting over there, she knows this. I would confess to love junk food. Okay, it's one of my weak spots. Pete mentioned the kebab. I love a good kebab, but I'm especially keen on a burger. It looks good, it smells good, it tastes good, but the reality is, it doesn't do me good. That's the reality. It's attractive food, it's junk food, but it doesn't lead to me being healthy. And despite my best efforts to pass it off as one of my five a day, because it's got onion in or lettuce in, it still does not pass as a healthy meal. It's junk food. It's going to harm me.
In moderation.
In moderation. I like that phrase. I use that phrase a lot, Pete. But actually, can I tell you that it is also true. It is just as true as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Just look with me at verse 10. For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. There is many muklais around that are junk food delicious to tempt you in, but they are no good for you. You see the words there? Muck meaningless talk. There you go. It's the juicy burger of muck meaninglessness. But it's there and it lures you in. And you take a big bite of it and it leaves you hungry, just like McDonald's does. It's true. I'm glad somebody else thinks that's true. And then you've got kind of McDeception. You see that there? The burger of deception, verse 10. It's there. It's luring you in. It wants to be listened to. You take a bite, but it deceives you. There's junk food to be served. There are people in this world who have the word of truth in front of them, who will feed you what is true. But it is also true that there are many junk food sellers who will feed you what is false. They will feed you lies. And where does it lead? Look at verse 11. They're disrupting whole households. That word disrupting actually means ruining, destroying. Then basically this leads to unhealthiness. This leads to even being pulled away from Jesus. You see, there are so many voices in our world that you could listen to. On an average day, think about how many voices that you'll hear. Adverts, radio, people talking to you. Voices. And that's true of life, but it's just as true when it comes to your Christian faith. There are voices everywhere telling you things. You flick on the radio, you flick on the TV. There are voices that want you to listen to them. So how do you spot those who are serving you junk food and those who are serving you the truth about Jesus that will transform you? How do you spot them? Well, look at verse 16. Here is one way the Bible gives us that we can spot junk food servers. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Him. We need to beware of those who claim that they know God, who claim that if you listen to me, I'll tell you the way to Jesus. I'll tell you the way to be saved. I'll tell you the way to happiness. I'll tell you the way to wealth. But whose lives show no sign of the transformation that we know the gospel can bring. Verse 1. Furthering your faith, a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Friends, I want to give you some warnings this morning. Just seeking to be a pastor to you. I want to show you from this passage, first of all, number one, that there are many deceivers. Look at verse 10. There are many people who will serve you junk food. This Crete, if you know it, is a small island. It's not big. And Paul, even on a small island, can say there are many who want to serve you up some junk food. They're everywhere. And so kids, this week, beware at school. They're everywhere. Grown-ups, as we head out to work, as we do our lives, as we mix with people, beware. Because there are many, many deceivers. Verse 10 again, what can I tell you? They are deceptive. Deceptive. A good lie sounds true, doesn't it? A good lie smells like it should be true. But they use deception to draw people in. Be careful. Junk food servers do stuff for self-gain. If you're going to go around and say, well, who's going to serve me up junk food about Jesus? Actually, they do it for their own benefit. Verse 11, you see that they do it for the sake of dishonest gain. And so how does that show itself? Well, it's all about an organization rather than about Jesus. It's all about building an empire. It's self-gain. Or it be because they want to be rich. They want your money. They want your time. They want you to love them. Be careful. People who are serving up junk food do it for self-gain. And actually, it smells of rules. They're so full of rules. If they're serving you up junk food, it's all about rules. Have a look at verse 10. He talks about this group called the circumcision group. And he talks about a group in verse 14 who are merely human commands. If someone comes to you and says, I've got some truth about Jesus, but it's just rules and rules and rules, then it's not the true gospel. Let me tell you why. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, not because of your keeping of rules, but because of His mercy. That's why anyone's a Christian, not because of rules. And if someone comes and says, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and it's rules, 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 it's a good sign that it might be deception. It might be junk food. And finally, they're obsessed with myths and conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Have a look, will you, at verse 14. And will pay no attention to Jewish myths or merely human commands to those who reject the truth. Beware of those this week, friends, who come in the name of Jesus, but actually they don't show a life that's transformed by Jesus. If you want to be a healthy follower of Jesus this week, friends, listen in, you've got to beware of those who'll serve you up junk food. You've got to be discerning at what you're taking in. Eat healthy, live healthy, be healthy. And Jesus says, be careful what you're eating, and be careful of who you're eating it from. Who should you be eating truth from? Verse 9. People who hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. You see, it's the gospel as it's recorded for us in the Bible. If people are straying from this and going off on all sorts of own ideas, don't listen to them. It's junk food. But to be healthy, we feed on the truth as it's been passed down to us. And that is why all of us in this room, to be healthy, need to hold to the trustworthy message of Jesus Christ, crucified, died for my sins, raised to life for my justification, ascended to heaven to rule and to open up to people today salvation, and one day is returning as judge. That's the trustworthy message that transforms us. And all of us need to hold tightly to that message. And actually, to be healthy, you need to be led, you need to be fed, and you need to beware. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together.